It's Tuesday, and time to read from your emails. A week ago, we spoke with veterans of the war in Iraq about their views on the debate in Congress, the planned troop increase, traditional veterans groups, and the new group, VoteVets.org, which ran an ad during the Super Bowl that opposed the president's plan. That did not sit well with Erin Weldon. "I'm a military wife," she wrote, "whose husband is on his second deployment. I was astounded by the actions of the veterans during the Super Bowl. My husband very willingly became a soldier. There is no draft now. Every person who decides to enter the armed forces knows that deployment is a very likely possibility. I support my husband. These troops don't need to be told Americans, especially vets, don't support the Bush administration because he's keeping you over there. They need our resolution and support." Another listener disagreed. "I am a two-time veteran of the war in Iraq," emailed Chris Miller. "I have a Purple Heart and a combat action badge for my time there. It is utter nonsense that you cannot support the troops without supporting the mission. I'm a living example of it. I did my absolute all every day I was there to make the mission succeed, but personally, I totally disagree with the war from the beginning to the end. I will continue to support the troops, and I will continue to speak out against the war." Our discussion of another controversial topic, can we afford to stop global warming, brought a huge amount of email. This one from Abby in Portland, Oregon. "Your guest's idea that prosperity is going to solve the problem of global warming is absurd. That very prosperity is what's going to cause an increase in global warming. As the impoverished become richer, they are going to demand the same level of stuff as the developed world. That means an increase in children, cars, computers, etc., which would further increase carbon emissions and thereby increase global warming." Kevin Woolley, a listener in Colorado, emailed to complain that we can't focus only on stopping climate change. "The media have been hyping the issue of global warming for more than a decade without any substantive discussion of what it would take to actually reverse the problem. We should make some attempt to mitigate the prospect, but much more effort should be placed on what we can do to live with the change, as it is unlikely to be reversed in our lifetime." We also talked about hip-hop with Byron Hurt, a filmmaker who asked some of the biggest names in the business why so many of their lyrics include sexual and homophobic slurs and celebrate violence and materialism. In response, a listener named Hawk Gates emailed to ask, "Why the double standard? White people can make movies that are chock-full of extreme violence and foul language, but it's looked at as art. Meanwhile, people become upset when they hear violent images laced with profanity in hip-hop. Why is it that hip-hop usually does not receive the consideration of being poetry? Why don't more people look at hip-hop through the lens of art?" If you have comments, questions, or corrections for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address, talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Becky Villamas, Dahlia Martinez, Enrique Rivera, Rachel Guberman, and Barry Hardiman. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Paul Heltzel produces our web content. The intern is Ashley Grashaw. Gwen Uten directs the program. The assistant producer is Sarah Handel. Kimberly Jones is our technical director. She gets engineering help from Linda Mack, Melissa Marquis, Drew Reynolds, and Marty Curcius. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our senior producer is Carlene Watson. The executive producer of Talk of the Nation is Sue Goodwin. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.